Welcome back to the Stoplight Approach podcast, where brain science is made simple. Today on the podcast, we are discussing chapter 5 from the Signals book. And chapter 5 is on triggers from the past. So it was a little bit more of an intense chapter to read, at least it was for me. And here discussing it with me is my husband, Tim. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm curious, how did you find the chapter on triggers? What was that like for you to read it?
Yeah, I think this is one that can be more difficult in a different way. I think that some of the things you read in the other chapters might be feel a bit strange because it feels so new. But this is one where you're not necessarily thinking about new things. You're actually thinking about old things. And I know for a lot of people, those are things that you want to move past, the things that you want to not remember or not think about. And so this becomes a difficult chapter all of a sudden when those are things that we realize we actually need to look at and need to think through because they're actually affecting us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt exactly the same way. And it was interesting her kind of take on Red Brain as a clue. This idea that, you know, these red brain moments that we have where we have these big reactions are giving us kind of a hint into something that we need to become aware of and something that we need to reflect on. And I thought it was helpful because oftentimes when I have red brain moments, especially as a mom with my kids, I just end up shaming myself and saying, yeah, like, how could you? Like, what kind of mom are you? You're so terrible. And that ends up being really, really unhelpful because it just, it kind of sticks you in this cycle of shame. Whereas if I can own what I've done wrong, face it, repair it as best I can, and then look at it as, okay, what did that moment need me to know? What was my brain trying to tell me? And kind of investigate it with curiosity rather than judgment or shame. I feel like that's pretty helpful. And so I was curious, like, so thinking about this red brain moments as kind of an opportunity for reflection or a clue into something that you maybe need to understand. Did you have any sense of like, okay, I had this red brain moment. What was it trying to tell me?
Yeah, well, I think we had talked in an earlier episode about some of our triggers. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that I said was rude, or like one of the kids is rude or disrespectful. And to be honest, as I was thinking about this in terms of trying to investigate it, what I realized was that I don't often have like one particular thing. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason is that I am a stuffer. And so that means I take all sorts of things, that some of it, maybe it's a big thing that bothers me. Maybe it's something that's very minor that bothers me. And I just stuff it all down inside. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening, though, is all of that frustration or anger, upsetness, all mingles together until it reaches the point where I really can't hold it in anymore. And when I do that, I end up going into a red brain moment. And what I just think I've noticed is that those times where someone is rude or disrespectful often is a tipping point to when I can't control that stuffing anymore, and it comes out really as a red-brained explosion because it's been all under so much pressure and building up over so much time.
That's interesting. So tell me more about that, like, tendency to stuff. Where do you think that came from?
Yeah, I think where that came from was when I was a kid, is I saw the way other people reacted a lot of times, and they would have, you know, big explosions or big moments where they, obviously I wouldn't have had that understanding then, but they had these big red brain moments. And what I realized is that, like, drew like in my mind, like really unwanted attention towards them. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't attention that I wanted. And so what I kind of realized is, hey, if I keep everything pretty even and I just kind of always stay kind of in the middle where I'm not never really low, I'm never really high. I might have some little bumps up and down, but I'm pretty even all the time. Then that's probably the best way to kind of navigate just kind of school and life and relationships. And that means that I can always be the one that can absorb everything and I can just manage through all that. And so the reality of what then actually played out though was I actually then just stuffed everything. So if I had a response, well, I could just stuff it down. And if somebody else told me something hard or difficult that maybe even bothered me, I can just stuff that in because I'm helping somebody else. Yeah, I don't want to be real high or real low. And so what ended up happening though is that that stuffing strategy that I created was really helpful in keeping me really even and being like a really kind of cool customer all the time and seemingly able to handle everything. But the reality was I wasn't actually handling it because I was just putting it away for a later date. And so I kind of feel like what happens is when someone's like rude or disrespectful, it's like it pokes a hole in my containment. And all of a sudden, then all those emotions that I've been kind of just pushing down in there erupt like a volcano. And all of a sudden, I'm in this massive red brain moment. And I think, once again, for me, not necessarily because of the rudeness or disrespectfulness, but because rudeness and disrespectfulness really is kind of like the opposite of what I was doing. It really like goes against what I normally want. And that just really quickly pushes past all of my defenses. Mm. And there I am in that. And I think in a lot of ways, like it's not something that, once again, because I'm a stuffer, it's just one of those things that you realize, well, that's just how I live. That's just how I do things. And so it does take time to understand, how do I deal with difficult situations? How do I respond to what I perceive as a big emotion? Hmm. And if you don't ever really actually explore that, you don't ever realize how you, in this case, how do I actually deal with it? And what I found is the way that I deal with it is not a very helpful way. It's not a good way to keep me from going into these red brain moments, because I'm in essence waiting just for another time where the volcano is going to potentially explode again.
Yeah, and the red brain moment kind of gives you the clue that, oh, maybe I need to handle this differently. Like all of the stuffing, like what could you do instead? You know.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've been trying to understand about this is I need to have an outlet for the things that bother me. Once again, whether they're big or small, but I need to have some type of outlet where I am regularly working through those things, acknowledging those things, and in essence, helps me to take some of those things I've stuffed down out so that I'm not under so much pressure in terms of being ready to explode. And so being really aware of myself and how I often operate in terms of functioning in day-to-day life in terms of stuffing my feelings down then really allows me to take my feelings out in a more controlled way and actually work through them rather than the buildup and pressure.
Yeah, that's really helpful. It was interesting when I started thinking about this, like, red brain kind of, like, as a clue or something that kind of invites you to reflect a little bit on what was there, you know? And so it just made me think of, like, I think I've shared on this podcast before that one thing that is really makes me prone to have a reaction rather than respond is feeling like I'm being ignored. Mm-hmm. And so I started thinking about, okay, red brain moment. You know, I had a big reaction. Why? Well, because no one responded when I said anything. Okay, so why did I have a reaction when no one responded? Well, because I felt like I was being ignored. Okay, why does that bother me? You know, and just kind of going through that process. And what I realized is that, you know, a wound for me is feeling like I don't matter. Mm. Feeling like I am unseen or mm-hmm. unheard, and that my presence doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, teasing back that red brain reaction
yeah.
of, you know, nobody's listening to me. Actually, what, you know, and should our kids respond when I talk to them? Of course they should. But that's not the point right now. The point is my own self-reflection and saying, okay, what is it inside of me that got pushed on in that interaction? And what I found with the experience of when I feel like I'm being ignored, it's that wound of I don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it just is really helpful for us to look at red brain moments as these opportunities to reflect and to kind of dig a little bit and try to figure out what's going on inside some of the things that maybe we're not aware of. But then, you know, these big outburst moments kind of give us a chance to kind of pay attention to and say, okay, wait, what's really going on there? She also talks about disabling the button, mm-hmm. kind of like this idea of like disarming red brain. And she gives a few different things that you can do to kind of help disarm red brain or disable these trigger buttons. What was one of the things that stuck out to you from the list that she gave?
Yeah, I think for me, the one that stuck out most clearly was wise counsel. And for me, I really need to have someone listen to me. And I think a lot of this actually comes from what I just talked about earlier is what I have a tendency to do is just to stuff. And in my own mind, what ends up happening is all of those various things aren't individual things anymore. They all really coalesce into this one big thing. And so mm-hmm. I really need someone to listen to me mm-hmm. and help me pull out maybe a similar theme, maybe a similar issue. And for me, I don't necessarily have the ability to think through those individual incidents and put the puzzle pieces together. I really need someone else to listen to me and help me see mm-hmm. what the picture actually is. And then that allows me to have the perspective to say, oh, okay, this makes sense that you know, this all has a really similar theme. Mm-hmm. No wonder this was something that really bothered me.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept stuffing it down. So that's been particularly helpful for me.
Yeah, and what has that wise counsel looked like for you? Like, who do you go to for that wise counsel?
Well, I think I go to, honestly, a variety of different people. So one thing for sure has just been close friends and family because mm-hmm. they're the people who are most trustworthy. They're not super judgmental, and you know that they want good things for you. And so that's hugely, hugely important. But then another part of this is I'm a person of faith, and so is going to my faith mm-hmm. to once again kind of understand, like, what's going on? How does this work? But then I think the third piece of that is also like talking to professionals. That's something also that's, I think, can be incredibly helpful because professionals are people who have done work in terms of helping unentangle difficult things in life and to help provide clarity and transformation in those areas. And so I think for me, it's been really a culmination of all three of those things. Sometimes more of one than another, but really all three of those things have been important parts for me to really help disable the red button in my life.
Yeah. So it's multifaceted is what I'm hearing you saying. Like
it's
a combination of friendship and kind of professional help and your faith and the strength that you draw from that. Yeah, that's really helpful. From the list for me, one thing that just really stood out to me was practicing gratitude. I really resonated with the idea that we have a tendency to focus on what's wrong. And that is 100% my personality. You know, I always look at what's wrong, what's left undone, what could be better, like all of that kind of stuff. And so something that has been really transformational for me in sort of disarming my red brain and making it less reactive is just training myself to look for the good and to name the good and to be thankful for the good in my relationships with my children, and with my spouse, with my friends. I do find that it makes me less reactive. It makes my red brain less ready to kind of just snap. When I've done that work of just every day, day after day, just trying to train my brain to look for the good and see the good and name it and express gratitude for it. So that was the one that I definitely was like, yes, like I've seen that be helpful in my life. Yeah, and so then the last part of the chapter was really her talking about like how our kids have buttons too. Red brain buttons aren't just for adults, they're for kids too. And so kind of trying to help our children understand that and walking alongside them as they discover some of those things that trigger them. And I was just wondering if you kind of had a story, you know, of one of our kids like recognizing that there was a button sort of below the red brain, and if, you know, how we kind of could guided them through that.
I think in one area in particular is we recently, I think, had one of the kids really have a massive struggle with doing something that they didn't want to do. And on the outside, it was like, I think in some ways for us, kind of mind-boggling that they didn't want to do this, because it seemed like something they would be absolutely for, and yet they were so resistant to doing this. And it was obvious that whatever was going on, this was a massive red button for them. And so we remember trying to not move past the situation, but try to get in a place where the red wasn't so intense, and then helping walk through with them, helping them say, you know, how were you feeling when this was done? What was going on in your mind? What were you thinking about? And then also helping them think through, if you didn't want to do this, what did you want to do? And then by asking through a lot of questions and exploring that with them, yeah, we found what was actually at the root of all of it.
Yeah.
And then that allowed us to say, okay, like now we can really actually talk about what's going on, because we're not in the midst of red brain. We've now calmed down and we're in green brain, and so now we can actually really work through the situation and come to a solution.
Yeah, and I love that you kind of pointed out that like we had to get through the red brain before we could get to like what was underneath it. And so that really looked like just a lot of kind of like sitting with and listening and not allowing, you know, ourselves to get caught up in the emotions that were being expressed, because there were lots of big emotions that were being expressed. And just kind of like being a peaceful presence that's sort of there with in the midst of the emotions without getting caught up in joining the emotions. But yeah, it was sort of like riding that wave, you know, of letting those emotions come, letting that red brain moment kind of like sweep through, just kind of like sitting there being present with. And then like once it sort of, the wave came and it all passed through, we got to the bottom of, okay, what is actually like, what is making you feel so unsafe or so insecure or so, you know, against what we've been suggesting, you know, that we do. And it's hard, but then you can see the sort of aha moment of, oh, okay, like that's why I reacted the way I did. And that understanding piece that comes when they say, okay, like, it wasn't actually this thing that I was like so upset about. It was this thing that was underneath it that I don't even realize I didn't even know was there, you know, until I had a chance to kind of process through it.
Yeah. And then I think that that's the next piece is that you do have to come to some type of understanding. It's not one of those things that we just say, oh, okay, that's there. I'll remember not to step on that landmine again in the future, is that it then allows us to say, okay, how do we actually work through this? But then it helps us, I think, as caregivers, that because we know that's a difficult area for our kids, that we're then able to approach that with a lot more care next time. So if we have a similar situation, we can say, okay, we know that this caused a major red brain moment. And so it's going to allow me to maybe have a side conversation before we make any big announcement. Maybe this will allow me to have a slightly different approach with this child to help them be able to accept what we're doing, because I actually now know what the root is. And so this is an area that we can continue to be proactive about, so that we're actually staying in the green brain and working through things rather than going back to those red brain moments.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, just becoming aware of that this is there, like that here is an area where there's a lot of tenderness and a lot of kind of sensitivity around this particular area. So even like going back to mine, like this old wound of like, I don't matter. Like, okay, so now that I see that and I know it's there, like, how do I shore that up? Like, how am I attentive to it in a way that helps it to heal? And, you know, a lot of that is just kind of what we talked about last time, going back to those I can, I have, I am factors. You know, I do matter. Like, I do have a voice. I am seen. I am heard. And like thinking of ways that that's been true in my life and how I've been able to embody that and experience that I do matter, so that this wound that's there, you know, doesn't have as much power because it's been seen and understood and kind of like been allowed to heal. Not that I won't ever trip on it ever again and it'll never, but the button gets less and less sensitive, or maybe get smaller and harder to hit as you go along because you've attended to it. So it's just, it's true just as much for us as parents as it is for our kids. Okay, well, thank you so much for discussing chapter 5 with me today.
I'm glad to be able to do it.
And we will be back next week talking about chapter 6. So read chapter 6 for next week, and we will be discussing it then.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Stoplight Approach podcast. Please share, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, as it will help other people to find us. The Stoplight Approach offers many resources to help families, schools, churches, and other groups to grow in their understanding of the brain and relationships. Please visit www.thestoplightapproach.org to learn more.